Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. You know what amazes me? That our eyes automatically adjust to light, that our heart rate increases and decreases based on activity or stress or something else, that butterflies are such an incredible work of art. The strength of a horse, the beauty of a sunset, the treasure of a child's laughter, the joy of living loved, the idea that every single one of these gifts and more come from a Father who loves us profoundly. He's masterful. He's a creator. He's a defender. He's a deliverer. He's our Prince of Peace. Absolutely amazing. The one who knows the hairs on your head knows about the hurts in your heart. He loves you. I'm praying by the time today's show is over, you're freshly in awe of who God is. I've got a guest that I've had on plenty of times before, and I just, as I was prepping for the show, I'm like, why did I wait so long? I needed to get him on in between books. Dr. Michael Gillen joins me today to talk about his amazing book, Let Creation Speak, 100 Invitations to Awe and Wonder. And I like to start out the show every day with a question that you'll text in. I love participation. So what of God's creation most just leaves you in awe? Is it a sunset? Is it standing on the beach looking at the ocean? I mean, what kind of just quickens your spirit where you just, every time that you encounter that moment, that creation, it just makes you think of God? I would love to know. Text me, 877-933-2484. And if you are kind of got that brain where you want to know more about just the intricacies of God's creation, have I got a book for you. Dr. Michael Gillen's book is Let Creation Speak, 100 Invitations to Awe and Wonder. Every single day, he lets you read on just some of the wonders of God's creation, and then he offers some advice and then a prayer. It's fantastic. Text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Quick announcement before we hear from my very precious guest. If you've not downloaded our app, I'm inviting you to do that just because it's free. And if you're traveling this season, you can take us with you. You can listen to live shows or download the app. The podcast after the fact. I'm multitasking. Sorry about that. But go to the App Store, search Faith Radio Network, and you'll find it there. Now, let me tell you about my guest, and I'll quit multitasking. Dr. Michael Gillen earned his doctorate at Cornell University in physics, mathematics, and astronomy. Wow. And then taught physics at Harvard for 8 years. He's the former Emmy-winning science editor for ABC News and the author of the best-selling book, Believing is Seeing, among others. He hosts a podcast, Science Plus God, with Dr. G. He's co-founder of Accelerize Media, an innovative film and TV content company, and he speaks on college campuses around the world. Welcome back to the show, my friend. It's been too long.
Suzy. Yes, indeed, my dear sister. It's been too long, but you know, I'm just thrilled. I'm interviewed by a lot of people. I have been over the years, and I can tell you honestly, I always look forward to speaking with you because you're well informed. You read the books ahead of time. I don't know how you do it. But your questions are always spot on. So thank you. It's really, really a joy and looking forward to our conversation. Wow. God bless
you. And bless you as well. I really honor the gift of God in you, Michael. It's really profound. And before we dig into the content of this really masterful book, I would just love to know in your daily walk with God, what's he been talking to you about these days?
Wow, a lot. You know, you mentioned that I co-founded a production company called Accelerize Media, and I know we're here to talk about the book, and I'm eager to do that, but you've asked a question, and I'm just going to be honest with you. Many, many years ago when I was living in Massachusetts, I'm living in Texas now, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, loving every minute of it, by the way. But when I was living in Massachusetts teaching at Harvard, I started attending a monthly luncheon of primarily CEOs, Christians. We'd gather early in the morning, and there would always be a speaker. And on this particular morning, Oz Guinness was speaking, and he said something that even after all these years, Susie, I have never forgotten. And right now, where I am at, right now in my life with Accelerize Media, it just comes to me all the more strongly, the memory of that speech. He said that most of us do not live biblically. In America, for example, we live according to the idea that we grow up, we work hard, and then we retire, and that somehow we've earned our retirement. So I guess you spend your life fishing and golfing or whatever. And he said, on the other hand, the Bible calls us to do just the opposite. If you think of Abraham and you think of Moses and others, he called them when they were in the fourth quarter of their lives to do something profound for the kingdom. And I find myself doing the same thing. I never would have thought at this point in my life, where I've been extremely successful beyond my wildest imagination as a little Mexican kid growing up in East LA, who wanted nothing more than to become a scientist and then discovered his destiny. That was much more than just being a scientist. I find myself living biblically. Never worked harder in my life than I am right now. It's not easy starting a production company from scratch. We have a wonderful investor from Silicon Valley. My three partners are all Christian men with enormous experience. One of them was a former senior executive at Disney. I mean, senior, like among the top three, and probably would be president of Disney right now if Frank Wells had not died in a helicopter accident while skiing. And so right now, the Lord is saying to me, I'm not done with you. No, you're not going to retire. Yeah. You know, I need to call upon all the experience you've had, all the trials and the tribulations, the disappointments, the joys, everything that I've gone through, all my years at Harvard and ABC News and making a movie and on and on and on and on, just an amazing life that I've had, never sought it, is now being brought to bear of this company. And we're dedicated to creating content that the entire family can watch without worrying that they have to hit the mute button on the remote. Entertainment that is uplifting, that makes you feel good to be alive, that we use the word eudaimonia, and it's an old Greek word that means the thriving life. And of course, as Christians, we identify that as the life filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's not just Christian programming. We're aiming for the entire market. We really want to change the culture in Hollywood right now. One of my partners has worked with all the major studios, Steven Spielberg, all of them. So we're not out to create niche programming. This is programming for a general marketplace. And so, yeah, God is saying, hang in there. And in days when I'm really tired because I'm not 20-something anymore, he says, no, I just need you to finish the race.
That's right.
And on some days, it's so emotional, Susie, because it's nothing I sought. All four of us founders felt called to do this, and yeah. None of us is working harder, has ever worked harder in their lives than we are right now. So that's what God is saying to me. Just
persevere, appreciate that.
Keep working.
Amen. Well, I was going to say, I always say one testimony begets another testimony, and this isn't a time to shrink back. It's a time to rise up. It's not a time to shrivel. It's a time to flourish and to dream with God. And, I mean, think about what the Lord said to his people while they were in captivity. Plant gardens, you know, get married, have babies, you know, flourish here. Don't shrivel here. And I feel like what you're saying is somebody needs to hear that, because even if you're in your retirement years, even if you're in your latter years and you're stuck in a job you hate, I really, you know, God is always up to something new. And if you're open to him blowing the doors off of your puny expectations, let him surprise you, right?
I love that expression, blowing the doors. That's what he's doing with me. And, you know, I have a Gen Z son. Yes, amen, 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 my sister. And, you know, I have a Gen Z son, and he's got a Gen Z girlfriend. And, you know, I'm appalled at the world that they're having to grow up in. Laurel, my wife, and I will, you know, on a maybe on a Friday night or a Saturday night. We don't particularly want to go out. We've worked hard all week, and we just want to kick back and watch a movie or something, you know, even a series of something that will make
you
feel good about
find.
Investing your time. But there's nothing. And,
yeah.
you know, you have all the streamers, Paramount Plus, Disney Plus, MGM Plus, you know, on and on and on. And you cannot find anything worthwhile. Well, we're going to change that. And we're going to do it not because of us, but we're going to do it because of the Lord. And he's moving in the most powerful way. I'd love to have a whole program with you to talk about what we're doing at Accelerize Media some other time. We're going to be making some huge announcements in the weeks and months ahead. So,
good. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's definitely
really
talk
exciting.
About that. We
yes,
got about 4 or 5 minutes before our first break. And so I want to do something I wasn't planning, but I've asked people to text in and say, you know, what are the things that kind of stop you in your tracks? And we're going to dig into the content, but I kind of think some of these answers are in your book. So one person said the rock formations, and they've been listening to the podcast, by the way. It's a live radio show, but it goes to podcast. They've been listening by podcast for months and first time listening live. So welcome to the live show, friend. But they said rock formations. What can you say about rock formations?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Rock formations, I think of there's a national park, and I'm forgetting what the name of it is, but it's in Utah, and it's all about these extraordinary rock formations. And, you know, you look at something and you wonder, is this just all an accident? Even rock formations. And I did a podcast Caleb, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I have a podcast called Science Plus God with Dr. G, and it's sponsored by Caleb and Air One Radio. It's on Access More. And on journey number 89, I have a podcast called Awe, Your Emotional Connection to Creation and Creator. And I make the point that, you know, we are wired to have many different kinds of emotions, you know, anger, joy, and so forth. But why awe? Why are we wired to experience awe? Why is it that we can look at a rock formation? And, you know, the most spectacular rock formation of all are the Rocky Mountains, right? I spent last week in Utah, in Colorado, in Fort Collins, and it's just spectacular when you look west, this rock formation, you know, the Rocky Mountains, and you go, why? Why do you look at that and experience awe? It's just rock. It's just a bunch of jagged rocks. And in the podcast, I explain, and in this book that we're going to be talking about, I explain it's because that's how God intended for us to experience something of his presence. You cannot be in the presence of God without experiencing awe. Now, we can't look at God directly, right? But we can experience his creation. And it's the next best thing to experiencing the Creator. And the number one emotion you experience when you're close to the Creator or when you're close to the creation is awe. That's why he wired us so that even if we look at a rock formation, we go like, oh, my God, that's just beautiful.
So he wired us for awe. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. As we go to break here, I'm going to read some of these, and you can pick a couple of them on the other side of the break if you want to address them. But this dear one says, witnessing a solar eclipse. Joyce says, the trees in our area, they're so beautiful right now. Thank you, Lord. I love that. Tina says, a newborn baby is the most beautiful of God's creation. Amen. How the trees lift their branches in praise to the Creator, and their leaves clap with resounding joy. Amen. The colors God shares with us in sunsets and changing of the seasons. Rivers, mountains, my granddaughters take my breath away. Birds and all the animal kingdom, so unique, perfectly designed for their purpose. Wow. It just isn't that just... I keep them coming, friends. What kind of puts you in awe? I will tell you, sunsets and sunrises every day. I'm in awe of the canvas and the handiwork in the sky. Text me, 877-933-2484. We're talking to Dr. Michael Gillen and his new book, Let Creation Speak, 100 Invitations to Awe and Wonder. And he, as you can tell, is a scientist, so he'll give you some of the nuanced information you probably never had about dolphins or, you know, rock formations. And then he'll make a spiritual connection, and then he'll offer a prayer and a scripture. So you can text the word book in a separate text if you want in on the drawing, just the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. This is Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live. I don't know about you, but I love consistent nourishment. I love to fast on occasion. There's a purpose in that. But if you go too long without eating on a regular basis because you're too busy, your body actually goes into crisis mode. Well, in the same way, your soul, your spirit, they need nourishment too. And that's why it's so important to be listening to scripture, listening to good teaching on a consistent basis throughout the day. That's why we're here. We love what we do, and we want to do it with you. If you listen on the radio, on the terrestrial signal, we encourage you, download our free Faith Radio app. That way, if you're traveling this season, you can take us with you wherever you go. You can catch the live shows or even the podcast after the fact. And we've made it easier than ever. All you have to do is text the word app to 877-933-2484 and then click the link. I hope you will walk with us on this journey. Greater things are yet to be done in and all around us because God, well, He's on the move. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Dr. Michael Gillen today. He's a brilliant mind with a beautiful heart. His book, Let Creation Speak, ! 100 Invitations to Awe and Wonder. And I've asked you to text in, what part of God's creation just gets you every time? Andrew says it's the beaches. Judy says flowers, in particular wildflowers, and they take my breath away. And Chris says, all the time that God shows me, He's here with me and for me every day. Amen. So, Michael, let's talk about the size of the universe for a moment. You know, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are deeper. We cannot fathom even the universe, but it's so good to know what you know so that we can understand how great our God is.
Wow. It's huge, bigger than you can imagine. And what's ironic is that many of my colleagues in science will say, well, you see, we're so puny and insignificant compared to the vast universe. And, of course, as Christians, we recognize that just the opposite is true. God created didn't create a puny universe because He's not a puny God. God thinks big, right? And so when we look up at the night sky and we imagine the galaxies, 100 billion stars in our galaxy alone, and there are 100 billion galaxies. Go figure.
Mm. And He's got each star named, right?
Yes, yes, yes. And that's what we call the observable universe, what I just described. But we now know that beyond something we call the cosmic horizon is a universe that we will never see. And how vast it is, anyone can tell. So this is this is an enormity that we can't even contemplate. I mean, it's just bigger than anything we can imagine. And again, it's why would God do that? Why wouldn't God, we have dogs, for example. What I notice is that at night especially, they like to cozy up into a small space. They don't like to be in a big space. Maybe they just feel more comfortable there. I don't know. Enough about dog psychology, but you could extrapolate and think, well, God could have just created a nice little cozy universe for us, but He didn't, because He wanted to use the universe as an indication of how grand and glorious He is. I chuckle when I hear people say something like, well, there's no evidence for God. Well, the entire universe is evidence for God. I mean, starting with its size, it's an indication to us. God wanted to indicate to us through His creation just how large it is. how large he is. And imagine that even as big as the universe is, it's nothing compared to the size of God. And you even go beyond that, and you know, you realize that this universe, we've studied what I call its vital statistics or its vital signs. You know, like when you go to the doctor, they check your blood pressure and all the rest of it. Well, as astronomers, we have done the same thing for the universe. And what we find is that the universe is not only enormous, but it has vital signs that are perfectly constructed for life. And when you look at it just from a purely scientific point of view, the odds are completely against that. And so cosmologists now, modern cosmologists, are in a bit of a crisis because they have to explain that. Why is it that the universe, this enormous universe of ours, why is it constructed against all odds to be why is it constructed for life? You'll recall that in the 1940s, that cosmologists experienced yet another crisis when we discovered that the universe has a beginning, because up until then, science kind of sidestepped the whole concept of a beginning by saying that the universe we see today has always existed. So they didn't have to deal with a moment of creation. But then when we discovered that the universe indeed had a beginning, you know, they've been scrambling ever since. What are we now, 2020-something? That happened in the 1940s, early 1940s. So, you know, they've been scrambling for the better part of 80 years, and they still haven't really succeeded. I mean, you'll hear about the Big Bang Theory and how it all started and so forth and so on. And the going thought now is that it began with the quantum vacuum. We don't need to get into all of that. But the question then becomes, well, where did the quantum vacuum come from? Stephen Hawking, before he died, claimed that as long as you have the laws of nature, the universe will create itself. Well, that sounds very clever. But then you have to ask the question, well, where did the laws of nature come from? In other words, no matter what you do, no matter how you try to get around the moment of creation in a purely rational way, you always have to have something that started. And the question is, well, where did that something come from? And so now, this many years later, we have this additional crisis that scientists, cosmologists in particular, cosmologists are people who studied the origins of the universe. It's one of my specialties. Cosmologists are having to face a second crisis, which is, why is the universe, against all odds, constructed for life? And another thing, too, I mean, if you listen to what your listeners, or you pay attention to what your listeners are telling, the leaves of a tree, the sunrise and the sunset, the beaches, the rock formations, well, why? Why would that stir emotions in you? If you look at it purely objectively, even a rainbow, I mean, if you look at a rainbow purely objectively now, it's just an arc of light. Why would that inspire any sorts of feelings of awe and wonder? Why? Why would a leaf? A leaf is just this green, flat thing. A beach is just water washing up on shore. Why do these things? Why is it that when we look at nature, either on the grand astronomical level or on a macroscopic level or even on a microscopic level, why is it that what we see stirs these deep emotions of awe and wonder in us? It's because there is something behind these things. There's something behind the leaves, behind the oceans, behind the rainbows, behind the rock formations that we sense. It's not an accident. You don't feel, when you look at an auto accident, you don't stand there and gape and go, oh, that's beautiful. Oh, my God, you know what? You understand what I'm saying to you?
Mm-hmm.
So people
mm-hmm.
who look at the universe and say, well, there's no evidence for God, they're just deliberately being blind. The entire universe and everything it contains
blindness.
Is evidence for God. It stirs awe and wonder because the creator of this universe inspires awe and wonder. And that's why he wired us to experience this. Otherwise, the feelings of awe and wonder are useless to us in terms of our survival. Scientists can't, modern evolutionary biologists can't explain. You know, you can explain anger, you can explain joy, you can explain all these other emotions we feel, gratitude and all this, all these different emotions that we feel. But awe and wonder, scientists have a very difficult time understanding why are we wired to experience awe and wonder. It's because this is the way the creator connects with us.
Yeah, and I have the answer to that.
Creator.
I have the answer to that question, the passage you chose in your first chapter, Psalm 19, 1 through 4. Why are we in awe of a sunrise, a sunset, you know, of a butterfly, of beaches? Well, here's the answer. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth. And their words to all the world, God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. Another passage in scripture, it says, he merely spoke and the heavens came to be. And he stoops down to behold heaven and earth. We can't even fathom how great he is, but we are image bearers. And the fact that he's given us his creation to give us a picture of how creative he is should keep us, I think, in perpetual awe and wonder.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Amen. Thank you for reading that. And I'd like to follow up with Romans 1:20. I have loved this verse for the better part of my entire adult life. It was one of actually Michael Faraday's. Michael Faraday was the man who invented the electrical dynamo. That's why we have electricity today, because Faraday was grew up poor. I talk about him in my book, Five Equations That Changed the World. He had an amazing life, but he grew up very poor, became a scientist, really the first person to be called a scientist, but before that they were called natural philosophers in England. And today, to this day, the Faraday lectures, they hold them once a year in London. But anyway, Romans 1:20 was his guiding light, and it says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. And this is the kicker, Susie. The last sentence for me has always been the kicker. So what? So they have no excuse for not knowing God. In other words, look around you. There's the evidence for God. You can shut your eyes and you can shut your mind and you can shut your heart to it. But just to look around I've devoted my whole life to studying the universe. I know it intimately, and it's helped me know God intimately. But you can look around, if you can look around the universe and say, well, I don't see any evidence for God, you have no excuse. You're going to have to explain yourself when you stand before God, because God is going to say, what? Were you blind? I mean, seriously, no evidence for God? Just look around. I created a universe that is mind-blowing. Rock formation, beaches, rainbows. What else did I need to create? Didn't you feel any awe and wonder when you saw these things? Come on, man.
Yeah, right. I mean, you even think of the underwater world, which most of the population will never see, but the glory and the color of these fish and how intricately they're created to survive, and they're gorgeous. And it's like he did that because he can and because he is. And okay, when we come back, I have so many more questions on these different chapters ahead. If we have time, we're going to talk about the miracle of conception, of a baby being conceived and developing in a mother's womb. If there's time, I want to talk about how a butterfly emerges from a chrysalis. But there's some other super interesting chapters that you've gotten to, and I want to know what some of your favorites are, Michael, if we have the chance for that. Talking to Dr. Michael Gillen, just brilliant mind and a precious spirit. His new book, Let Creation Speak, 100 Invitations to Awe and Wonder. If you kind of, in fact, Angela says her husband's a physics major. He may need to get a copy of this, because it'll geek out your brain in the best way, because you'll get to learn some of the nuances of creation and then see the biblical support for it. Just absolutely amazing. Text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Angie says this, where am I in awe of God? The shores of Lake Superior in northern Minnesota, when the waves lap and they crash, and the vastness of it all, the depth of it all, the cold of it all. We'll be back in a minute. I don't know where life finds you right now, but I pray that you can look up. In fact, I pray today's show, you feel like Jesus is tilting your chin upward, and you see his smile, you sense his heart for you, and you stand in awe at the wonder of his creation. I mean, you read the opening of John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. I mean, it's so epic, you can almost hear music behind it. Well, I'm talking to the brilliant mind and heart, Dr. Michael Gillen, and his book is Let Creation Speak, 100 Invitations to Awe and Wonder. We've got 4 copies to give away, and some of you have that kind of heart and mind where you want to know the nuances of God's creation and how things work from a biblical and scientific mind. Well, this is the guy to write such a book. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Before I talk to you about your chapter titled Resilience, I just got to know, what part of God's creation makes you just stop and stand in awe? What gets you every time, Michael?
Well, that's a hard one, Susie. What gets me? I think the whole thing, what I was talking about a moment ago about the vital signs, I think that for me, and that's been only a relatively recent revelation in science, that when you look at the DNA of the universe, it is, it is perfectly constructed for life. And I'll say this, I just recently posted on my social media, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, and I posted video taken by NASA's spaceship that flew by Saturn and Jupiter and its moon Io, and when you look at it, and it's set to music by Vangelis. I don't know if you know the musical group Vangelis. It was really popular back in the 70s, not so much now. But when you just look at that flyby of this magnificent planet, Jupiter, and its very volcanic moon, Io, again, you just feel a sense of awe. And then, and yet, if you step back and just look at it, you say, what is it? They're just a bunch of round balls hanging in space. Why would that inspire awe? But again, we have studied planets, including the ones in our own solar system, including Jupiter, thousands of planets we've identified in other solar systems within our galaxy. We haven't even explored the other galaxies, right? We're just talking about our own little neighborhood, our own Milky Way. But we've identified thousands of planets that seem to have the same size as the Earth. They seem to be the right distance from their own suns, their own stars. And yet we've found zero, think about this, Susie, for a second, what I'm saying to you, zero evidence for life in this vast universe that we're talking about. And if that doesn't stir awe and wonder in you, that is it possible, as it seems likely right now, given what we have learned in exobiology, and that's another one of my specialties. I took classes from Carl Sagan and Frank Drake, the two authors of The Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence at Cornell when I was a grad student. I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. But everything we've learned from exobiology, life beyond the Earth, is that odds are we're alone in this vast universe. Does that make us insignificant? No. It makes us incredibly special. And I think that the thing that strikes me most about God's creation is that it's wired for life, and it's quite possible we're the only life that it's wired for. In other words, there's almost the implication that the entire universe, get this, was created just for us to experience awe and wonder. Wow. Okay. And then the second thing is, because of all my years at ABC News, 14 years at ABC being the science editor, being the science main guy, having to do with science, traveled all over the world. And I've snorkeled in the Great Barrier Reef. I've been to the North Pole. I've been to the South Pole, where during a lunch break and filming, we were surrounded by little Adelie penguins, and they were so sweet. And so I've seen God's creation up close and personal. And so I can't help but experience a degree of awe and wonder that probably most people on planet Earth never will.
Yeah.
And that has only brought me that much closer to the Lord, to the creator of this incredible universe.
I mean, because your senses are so alert and you have such a high level of perception, I can't wait to see you see Jesus and all that he's preparing for us. You know, I go away to prepare You know, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. I'm going to be in awe, but I'm going to be in awe watching you be in awe. I'm just saying. I can't wait.
There's some part of me that can't wait either, but, you know, he's keeping me busy right now, so I guess
there's plenty to do. Indeed.
I'm ready to go anytime he calls me.
Oh, Jesus come. But anyway, but find us faithful in the meantime.
Yes.
But speaking of just how significant we are, I thought this was so interesting. You write about how humans and chimps have this genomes that are about 98.7%
right.
identical, and how that point is often made by people arguing against human exceptionalism. So speak to that, because you have more to say about that.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about that. That's another thing you hear a lot about. Well, you know, especially from people who, sad to say, are just thoroughly ignorant about DNA and about what it signifies. I mean, the headline is that there's far more to us than our DNA, all right, number one. And by that I mean that for the longest time, our DNA or our genome, the word genome just refers to our DNA, right? We knew very little about it. But then at the beginning of the 21st century, when we mapped the human genome, and it was an amazing event that we were able to map the human genome and to start looking very carefully at the genes that comprise this DNA. One of the things that we always believed is that most of the DNA, far more than 90% of our DNA is what we called junk DNA, because we couldn't understand what it was for. We could identify what we call the protein coding genes. The genes code proteins that keep us alive, that design us, each of us, and make us unique. Right? So those protein coding genes are easily identified. But they only, when you add them all up, you know, there are like 20,000 of them. When you add them all up, it only makes up about 2% of the whole genome. So the question is, well, what about the rest of the genome? What's it for? You know, if it's not being used to produce the proteins necessarily to design and keep us alive, then what is it for? And we didn't know. We shrugged our shoulders and we said, well, no, it's called junk DNA. Well, since then, just in the last 10, 15 years, we've begun discovering that the so-called junk DNA is the main switchboard of the DNA. It is what switches the protein coding genes on and off, okay? So when you look at a chimp and compare it to a human being, yes, if you look simple-mindedly at the genome, yeah, we're about 98.7% identical, right? But what they don't tell you is that many of the genes that are switched on in the human are switched off in the chimps. You understand what I'm saying? And so it's not sensible to just simply say, oh, well, you know, 98.7% of our genes are identical. It's because so much of that 98.7% of the DNA we share with chimps are turned off in chimps and not in humans. The second thing that you need to be aware of is that we live in a universe. And I can't remember if I wrote one for this book or not, but I've spoken about it in the past. We live in what I call a jumpy universe. That is to say, it's a universe constructed so the tiniest disturbance can have a huge outcome. And there's a reason why God created that. I won't get into it now, but I talk about it, I think, in my book, Believing is Seeing, the one before this one. And there's a reason why Jesus created why God created a jumpy universe. It could have been a different kind of universe that he could have created, but he didn't. And so when you make simple-minded comparisons like this, that, oh, well, the chimp DNA is 98.7% the same as, you know, the human DNA, what you fail to understand is that 1.3% difference can have a huge outcome, can have a huge a reaction. For example, I'll just leave it at that. And the third thing is that DNA, you can't just compare the sizes or the similarities of DNA. So, for example, I think I talk about in this book the organism that has the largest DNA on planet Earth is not the human. It doesn't even come close. Our DNA is actually quite puny. The organism with the largest DNA by far is a Japanese flower. And if you look at, say, the DNA of a grape plant or a tomato plant or whatever, you'll see that we have a lot of similarity with tomato plants and grape plants, grapevines. So again, you can't simply just simple-minded comparisons of DNA. It's much more complicated than that. So that I wanted people to understand that in this book. So I did write, one of the invitations I wrote is that don't be duped into thinking that we're somehow like chimps just because so much of our DNA is seemingly identical, because there's more to us than our DNA. Size doesn't necessarily matter. Even similarities don't matter, because many of the genes are turned on or off. It goes on and on and on, and then there are epigenetic effects. So I just was a kind of a caution to the reader to don't be duped by these superficial comparisons. They're meant to deceive you into the exceptionalism of human beings. We are unique. And I mean, when I say unique, extremely unique. And I talk about that in other things that I've written.
Well, we got to pause here, but I want to read this going out to break. The DNAs of everyone who's ever lived or currently live or will ever live, they're 99.9% identical. Yet that seemingly insignificant 0.1% dissimilarity is entirely responsible for humankind's dazzling diversity. That should blow your mind. When we come back, I want to talk about your chapter detox program about frogs. Trust me, it's interesting. In fact, there's a connection to these frogs and Dr. Michael's media program, his media initiative. And I'm going to make that connection on the other side of the break, talking to Dr. Michael Gill in his book, Let Creation Speak. 100 invitations to awe and wonder. Each chapter, there's 100 short readings, and they're all invitations to awe and wonder. And every chapter will just blow your mind. I wish we had more copies to give away. We're just scratching the surface, so we have to get them back a good handful of times because there's so much here to dig into. But for now, we've got a drawing. 4 copies were given away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
I'm Angela Smith, host of Reading the Bible Together. And have you ever read the book of Matthew? You know, at the very beginning when it has the whole genealogy of Jesus, and read or tried to read through those difficult names and thought, who are these people? What are their stories? You know, why are they listed here? In our next reading plan, we're going to be looking at 5 of the women in Jesus's genealogy. It's called Unexpected, 5 Women in the Lineage of Jesus. We're going to take a look at Tamar. Who was she? You know, what is her story? We're going to look at Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba and Mary, Jesus's mother. All the women who you're going to hear on the podcast have contributed to the study guide. You can get your hands on that study guide at myfaithradio.com and sign up. I sure hope that you'll do this study with us so that the next time you go and read Jesus's genealogy, you'll recognize some of those names and know some of those stories. You can get that study guide at myfaithradio.com, and you can listen to Reading the Bible Together podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, I sure pray you're having a fantastic day. We are having an amazing conversation with our friend Dr. Michael Gillen, really one of the most brilliant people I've ever had the privilege of interviewing. Wow, he's written a new book, Let Creation Speak, 100 Invitations to Awe and Wonder. And my hope and prayer is we can get you on a handful more times, because there's so much here and we can talk about how science and faith intersect. But there's a couple more of your chapters I want to make sure we get to before the show is over. In your chapter titled Detox Program, Michael, you write about frogs that aren't genetically toxic, but they are poisonous from a steady diet of toxic insects. Unpack that one for us.
Yeah, and actually, in my travels to Costa Rica, I did some segments for Good Morning America on the rainforest there, but also the cloud forest. Costa Rica is amazing country. It has all kinds of habitats. And that was my first experience with something called a poison dart frog. And they're called poison dart frogs because many of the indigenous hunters used to smear their darts with the poison from the skin of these frogs. But what's interesting, and they're small, by the way, and I was even in one of my visits to Costa Rica, I was presented by a biologist there who's also an artist. He painted a picture of the golden poison dart frog, and they're really quite small, and they're actually quite pretty. But a typical poison dart frog has enough poison on their skin, get this, to kill, not just incapacitate, but to kill 10 full-grown men. Just by touching the poison on the skin of these frogs. Okay, so we're talking about major league toxicity here. But the interesting things we've discovered about these little creatures, and again, we're talking about God's creation, right? It's just amazing, is that these little poison dart frogs are actually not toxic by nature, but they feed on a steady diet of poisonous insects, typically. And so their bodies just build up this toxicity with time to the point where it just oozes out of their skin. But if you take these very same poison dart frogs and put them in a zoo, let's say, where you feed them now just a conventional diet, a conventional non-toxic diet, they just become like regular frogs. They lose their toxicity entirely. They become 100% safe. And I used this story because, as you indicated earlier in the program, I not only give you like a little essay on some spectacular plant or animal or phenomenon in God's great creation, but then I reflect on it and say, okay, what is God trying to teach us here? Because nothing goes to waste in God's kingdom, right? I mean, he created this universe to teach us things, not only just to experience awe and wonder, but to teach us things. And in this case, I speculated that here, I think, is a very clear-cut lesson for us that if we imbibe in a steady diet of poisonous reading and media, in other words, if we just fill ourselves with toxic content from social media, from television, from movies, from reading whatever we read, pornography or whatever, then we ourselves become toxic, not just to ourselves, but to others. People just, you know, we could literally cause other people to die. I mean, it can become that bad. And yet, if we remove ourselves from that source of toxicity and we start feeding on things, it almost reminds me of Philippians 4:8, where, you know, it says, think, yes, in effect, the verse says, you know, yes, the world is full of trashy, garbagey stuff that we create, but don't ignore that. Don't let it. Don't imbibe that. Don't absorb that. Think about everything that is beautiful and trustworthy and noble and true and so forth. And so this is a perfect example of that. If we remove ourselves from, unplug ourselves or cut the cord, is the expression now, from all that toxic stuff, then we ourselves become less toxic. And yes, you're right. That's why we created Accelerize Media. It's because we just see people filling themselves, just gorging themselves on this toxic entertainment, on this toxic stuff. And we want to offer people an alternative so that they themselves become less toxic. And then life itself becomes less toxic. And indeed, life becomes more beautiful. The way, you know, when I talked about a moment ago about the Adelie penguins while we were down in the Antarctic, we were on the ice for 10 days. Did history's first live shot from the Antarctic to the North American continent. It was one of the reasons why I was elected to the Explorers Club, which is the Explorers Hall of Fame. I mean, people like Neil Armstrong are there. The guy who first went up to the summit of Mount Everest is there. So one of the reasons why I was inducted into the Explorers Hall of Fame is because I did the first live shot from the Antarctic to North American continent. So during one of our lunch breaks, we were just sitting on the ice, taking a break, eating our lunch, our picnic, and we noticed these penguins just approaching us from behind. And before we knew it, we were just surrounded by just thousands of these little penguins, and they were the cute, most adorable little things. And I asked one of the scientists there in McMurdo Station, which is the American station down in Antarctica, I said, wow, this is amazing. He says, well, he said, the Antarctic is the only continent on Earth that forbids hunting of any kind. Now, I have nothing against hunting. Don't get me wrong. But the point is that the Antarctic has been designated, and all nations have signed on to this, that there is to be no harming of any of the animals there. And so these animals have never developed a fear of humans. And in that moment, Susie, I thought, this is the Garden of Eden. Yeah, it's in the Antarctic, and it's freezing cold. I'm in my parka and, you know, gloves and all my boots and everything. But this is the Garden of Eden. This is how God created the world for us to get along with everybody and everything in his great creation. And so I just think that with this detox program invitation, what I'm saying is, look, if we can just kind of detoxify ourselves by stopping by ceasing to fill ourselves with toxic content, then suddenly we become less toxic to the world, including the little God's little creatures, and not just even the living creatures, but the plants and the trees and all the rest of it. That's the point of this, I feel.
Wow. I got to wrap with this excerpt from that chapter. There's a very practical way for you to keep your fallen nature in check. Cut back on the poisons you ingest. From what you listen to, watch, think about, poisons that inevitably ooze out of you. Yes, it's not easy to change diets, but the Bible explains, choose constantly to be mindful of God, and your appetite for good things will automatically increase. For entertainment that inspires, relationships that lift you up, not tear you down, ambitions that are in line with, not hostile to God's will for your life. Excuse me, don't put it off. The time to detoxify your diet is now. We are out of time, Doctor, but I pray you'll come back a good handful more times and we'll keep talking because this was phenomenal. Thanks for your time today.
God bless you, Susie, and God bless your listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the amazing work you do. Dr. Michael Gillen is my guest today. We'll leave that drawing open. Again, I wish I had 100 copies to give away, but it's worth entering the drawing just in case you get a copy. Oh, there's my dog. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.